Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Please tell somebody good morning on my behalf. It's on my behalf, not on your own behalf. It was me who sent you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. I feel like we just continue singing. I don't know. Glory to God. Father, we are trusting for more inspiration that will help me to address issues that affect our lives, that you can bring healing, deliverance, and strengthening in the name of Jesus. That this word will not just be for doctrine. It will come so that the men and the women here may be thoroughly furnished. And we prepare for every good work in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this day. In Jesus Christ's name.
Menos eparato ostenica abravenaste zido asanamando siata abravenaste que tu venaste en brononos enima oscanatosa azus eva nemberos tiza asanavos enamontena erostativos anamana aste aste evanosa ista ista arandos evenamiva costa lagadia.
Any interpretation? Lindrosh tefise trush tefise fushta.
I've set it in order. Have put it in place. The administration of government. To check the excesses of men. To instruct and to teach. To furnish and to admonish. To rebuke and to bless. These are my works. These are the things that build my body. These are the things that strengthen men. These are the things that put men in check and in order. Remember what I did, even in the old days. In the life of Esther, I did same. In the life of many patriarchs of the old, I did same. When I set things in order. In order to prove to men that I am the Lord God Almighty. Who can do things through men. Who can choose those who does not consider themselves fit enough even for my assignment. It is an honor to be called. Yes, great honor to serve me. It is an honor for you even to be a minister of this thing that I have set in order. It is a great honor. Treat it and hallow it. Treat it and honor it. Treat it and hallow it. Do not despise it. He did not despise it, even in his youth age. Yet, he was as young as any of you. Yet, he did not despise the instruction of the elders. He did not despise the instructions of the leader. Treat it as I have set it in order. This is my instruction. For yea, rebelliousness will not be tolerated. I will not accept unruly behavior. I will not accept things that is not in tune with what church is built upon. For yet the church is built upon the rock, upon the stones which you are hewn from. And so you must behave like rock. You must persevere. You must endure. You must tolerate. You must embrace. You must come into the place of making the sacrifice, even when it is not convenient. For yet it wasn't convenient for me to go to cross for you, but I did it for your sake. Why will you now consider it as a sacrifice? To make sacrifice, even for me, to do certain things that is commanded of you. I will raise men among you. Men that are not considered themselves as minister. I will put my word into their mouth. I will put my spirit into their heart. And I will do great work in the midst of the people. I will rest there through you. If only you can align with my instruction. I will heal sick through you, if only you can abide with my doctrine. For my doctrine is yea, it's for blessing, it's for resting, it's for healing, it's for instruction. And it is for those who are obedient, for those who are unruly, I will not tolerate, says the Spirit of God.
I think there's a word over Nigeria. There's a word of peace over Nigeria. There's a word of quietness over Nigeria. God is walking over Nigeria. God is in charge in Nigeria. It may not look so, but God is in charge over Nigeria. And he will keep his own people. And he will help them. He will be involved in the leadership of this nation. God is coming down in full force over this country. He will teach men his ways. There are secrets that will be revealed in recent days, coming days, that will upset seats and turn seats over in this nation. There will be a deliberate act by God to unveil secrets that people are sitting upon. Secrets that will unseat men and remove them from their seats and their positions. God is going to make such secrets to be known. He will use people to expose them. There will be exposures. There will be openings. He will bring people who will fear him to be in charge. Make sure you don't fight them when he raises them. They may not look like the kind of people that you seem to understand. But God is behind the working. The building of a nation you can't understand. I am the King of all nations. I am the Lord of all lords. The Prince of the kings of the earth. I raise men and I pull down men. I raise Cyrus. I can raise anyone to fulfill national assignments. I can raise people who don't look like you, and they will fulfill my counsel over your geographical space. They will do the things that I want done. If the people who are called by my name will not stand up and do it, help will come from somewhere else. I will raise people who will fear me. They will fear me, and in the little they can do, I will use them. I will build this nation again. I will turn it around. I will be God in this nation. It was not a mistake that this nation was put together. Don't think it was a mistake. You have thought hitherto, but it was not a mistake. I made it to happen. And I have a purpose for allowing those rivers to march. I am God. This nation has a purpose for me in these times and in these seasons. Your name has hitherto been heard for evil all over the world. It's a sign that your name is supposed to be heard for good all over the world. Satan is playing with the destiny of this nation. But I will arise as a mighty, terrible one. I will make this country really green for the green that it should be. I will make it for peace and I will make it for greatness, says the Lord. I will still send missionaries to nations from this country. Satan knows this and he will do everything to fight it. But I am still raising men. I will raise them and I will send them to nations. Just like some have gone to nations and they have caused chaos, I am also raising men who will go to nations and they will bring peace and they will bring healing to those nations from this nation called Nigeria. I did this so that when men begin to hear that you are from Nigeria, they will know that nation. Because this nation has a name that is known all over the world. They will know that you are from Nigeria. The name of this nation, I have made it popular. So that when you appear, they will identify with you. They will know where you have come from. They will know your source. And they will know your origin. For of necessity, a prophet must have a home country, says the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for the word that you sent to us. for the encouragement, for the warnings, not to toy with the things that are sacred. Father, we pray that you will help our hearts to align properly in the name of Jesus. Even as pertains to this country, many of us have lost hope. We have said it's not going to happen. We are waiting for the bad news. But you've come today to give encouragement. Lord of heaven, we repent of our unbelief. We repent of our unbelief. Rather than look at men and the things that they are doing in the land, Lord, we choose to look unto you. You are the author and you are the finisher. You are the Lord of all the earth. Therefore, Father, we trust you that what you have proposed to do with this country, you will do. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. For those of us that were in church this morning for the believers class, you are seeing practical examples of the manifestation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, this morning I'm trying to move forward on the series of the anatomy of the flesh and what to do with the flesh. Last week I painted a picture for us to show us where the source of our problem really is emanating from. And I did remember that I said that from the book of Hebrews 9, where the Bible said that the blood of Jesus, that's 12 to 14, purges our conscience from evil works that we may serve God. I said therefore that it meant that what has been producing the evil work, what has been making us unclean, was actually emanating from the source called conscience. I know we've come from an academic background where people say conscience, they give conscience different definitions. But from scriptures, it's not that kind of thing that the Bible calls conscience. Praise the Lord. We know also from scriptures that conscience is very powerful. Because Paul was writing to Timothy, says, so people abandon conscience and destroy their faith. Even though they have a mental assent, they mentally agree with doctrines, but because of their conscience that they allowed to be seared, they allow their conscience to, they just shut it off, they nullified their whole faith. And somewhere else again, Paul was mentioning the place of conscience. Hallelujah. He was talking about his conscience, serving God with a pure conscience. Praise God. It's proper for us to understand that what scriptures reveals to us enables us to know where the problem is and where the solution is. In the issue of salvation, there are two parts. Salvation has a part that is sovereign, which God has done in Christ. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Part of the sovereign work of God is that the Holy Ghost comes around to convict you. That is how far it can go. It can go no further. There is the human part that must align, which is your own accepting his verdict concerning you. Praise God. And that is what works and brings forth salvation. God does not sovereignly get people saved. You have to cooperate with him. His work is to bring conviction. I know somebody, I was talking to him one day, and I said it was clear to us that God is not on your side. And judgment is coming upon you. And you have to stop and change. He said he knows. And I said, let God do whatever he can do. And he was smiling. And I know that this one does not fear God. And that week, disaster struck. And he still could not repent. I said, I don't think I can help this person anymore. Maybe God needs to
do an higher one. Are you with me? Some people, God has to break their leg like he broke the leg of Jacob before they understand what God is saying. God was saying somewhere, I said, don't be like the mole that they have to put food in their mouth to turn them. See, you understand? Be able to understand when God's dealings are happening in your life and have an understanding where he's trying to get you to. For some of us, you will see the circumstances. For some of us, he will talk to us audibly. For some of us, while you are in church, he will start talking to you. But the important thing, be able to recognize when God is communicating to you. Praise the Lord. And so I've spoken a little about conscience. I don't want to delve so much into that because that is not my emphasis. The truth is that the Bible says the blood of Jesus purges our conscience from what? From dead works. That we may serve the living God. Amen. So when you read the Gospels, where Jesus said that out of the heart cometh all this evil work and all these things, there's something in that heart called conscience. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Once we deal with the conscience, you will produce works that are acceptable. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? So that's where the blood went to. Praise God. And so when the Bible says, John now said that if you walk in the light as is in light, the blood of Jesus his son does what does it do? It cleanses you. Hitherto we have felt that blood is only for when you commit sin, you say, Lord, forgive me. Then, yeah, praise God. That happens. But there's something else that he does. There is a purging he does as you obey. Do you understand me? I don't know how to use the expression. You see, it's like, I don't know whether you have seen, I don't know what to do. You probably have not seen a cooling tower. This thing that they use in cooling is an industrial application. They build a cooler that cools water. It's a cooling tower. You know, that when they're recycling water, so they take the heat. It's an heat exchanger, more or less. Over time, it builds up scales so that the efficiency of its transfer begins to dwindle. I don't know whether you are with me here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, let me use a kettle. I'm going to use electric kettle. NEPA. You don't get enemy. NEPA doesn't have enemy. Praise God. If you are using electric kettle and you are using water that is hard, that has impurity, over time, its scales settle on the boiling ring and the efficiency of heating decreases. And so the resistance increases. Electrical resistance increases. You are in futon. Now you're looking at me as if I'm talking English. You are following me. You are lost. Sorry for you. Go and change your course. Amen. Emmanuel, you hear me? Go and change your course. Praise God. So until they remove the scale, that's when the eating process becomes much more easier. Amen. So there are scales that are built up over time in your heart that the blood keeps removing so that it becomes much easier for you to be obeying. That's what the word does. But essentially, you have to do the part of obeying. Praise God. When you obey, that part is removed. One layer is removed. And they keep removing that layer. They keep removing it until everything is gone. And to obey God becomes very easy. Praise the Lord. I hope you get that picture. That is the work and which is sovereign of God. You don't even know when it's happening. Hallelujah. Say, you understand me? When you talk about conviction, that something comes alive in you, you become aware of something. Well, that is where that thing is activated from. Glory to God. And so, preaching is part of those things. Because Holy Ghost brings conviction when you hear a preaching, when you hear a word. You can just sit down there and your eyes will open. For me, I've come under convictions many times. I've come for a prayer meeting. God, the Holy Spirit just said, abandon this prayer meeting. Let us deal with your problem. And I spent the whole hours repenting. Because he had to deal with certain things that was in my heart. Praise God. Our heart is the source of our problem. That's where the flesh is located. Can you go to Romans chapter 8? Let's take my thoughts from there. Romans 8. I'm doing this teaching. I'm hoping to... There's this aspect of it that you must do that I want us to spend time looking at. Romans 8. Now, Paul wrote, he says, therefore, you have to go to chapter 5, 6, 7 to understand therefore. Are you with me? The argument he has been building is that, look, you have been saved. Sovereign work has been done in you. But the aspect of your own personal involvement, you have not understood it. And you have not done it. And so, what we are seeing before us are people who don't even know their right from their left. They don't even understand what's going on in their lives. And so there is no proof that they are saved. Are you with me? Are you with me, church? You have met people who come to church, and when they step out of church, they are completely different. Is that not so? And he says, he's a Christian. Yeah, he is a Christian, but something is fundamentally wrong in his belief system, in his operation. Praise the Lord. Some people are bound by habits. They brought it from Babylon. We saw that in Israel. Israel still had a lusting for the wrong kind of food. And when the opportunity came, they said, is there no cucumber in Egypt? Is there no garlic and all the things? As if it was available for them. Because they were slaves. And I can't imagine the Egyptians giving them cucumber as slaves. Praise the Lord. Do you understand me? But here they came to the wilderness and they were giving God problems. It became so bad that after God gave them manna for many years, they rebelled against God. How can we be eating manna every day? Is there no meat? Is there no suya? Now you can read that story and not understand what was going on there. God said, I deliberately fed you with manna so I can humble your soul. Praise God. I've told you before, when I came to Ekiti with my parents, when we got to Ado that night, we ate pounded yam. I was happy. The following morning, they left over pounded yam. They served us in the morning. Okay, it's Ado. I ate. In the afternoon, they brought pounded yam again. This is not fair. Grumble, grumble, grumble. In the evening, they now brought pounded yam. I so rebelled. I rebelled. That I'd rather die than eat another pounded yam. So imagine giving me pounded yam for 40 years. I would have gone to war. Or look for the nearest river and jump there and commit suicide. Praise God. So it's easy to abuse them. Banner. Yes, there's something about your appetite and your desire. Something that goes within you. That is anti-God. You are not satisfied with what God has given you. You want something else. It's coming from somewhere. There's a programming that has gone into building you up over the years. And it's very, very deliberate. Praise the Lord. And so when you consider the prophecy this morning, that God warning us and speaking to us to be very, very careful about things we're handling, it's very, very dangerous that we disregard those things. There is a feeling that what you have been denied of is better than what you have now. It's a false sense of appreciation, whatever it is. It's wrong. Hallelujah. So it said, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which I will in Christ Jesus. It is those who walk not after the flesh. It is for those who walk not after the flesh. If you walk after the flesh, you will see further down, then you come under condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Can you give me another translation that will help us here? Can you, maybe let's try Amplified. Let me see what Amplified says.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and work not after the dictates of the flesh. Dictates of the flesh. Remember, praise God. When I spoke about the flesh, I was talking about the transactions that go on in our mind. When they were speaking about Lucifer in the book of Ezekiel, is it 38? Huh? They said, "You have corrupted your brightness by the trafficking." Satan was a trafficker. And you wonder, what was he trafficking in? It was the thoughts. His thoughts and his mind, the way his mind was operating, they say it corrupted his brightness. What was he thinking about? He was plotting the overthrow of the God of the universe. That was what corrupted him. Praise God. And he has taught men to also behave like that. So when we saw in Genesis 6, God said he also has become flesh. That means he also has started to start thinking and being led by that. Now, how did we understand this operation? In Genesis chapter 3, when man fell, look at it. The Bible says the woman looked at the fruit. It was pleasant to what? To the eyes. It's John called that lust of the eyes. Then the Bible says it was able to make one wise. It's called pride of life. And it was good for food. Lust of the flesh. Amen. Those are things the Bible calls dictates of the flesh. Those are things that drive it. They attract you. They work on your personality. Now let me say this, just like the way of distraction. There's something about the human being. I don't know it yet. If you were a drinker, you used to drink booze. You understand this meaning. Have you seen the advert of stout lager? When they pour that stout inside that bottle, when that thing rolls, you understand? If you have not been a drinker, you cannot understand the mystery of that advert. Solomon spoke about it. Said, don't let the drink, when it's turning in the cup, don't let it deceive you. When that thing turns, I said, where it moves the soul. Oh God. How do I explain this thing? Oh. There are things that move you. I don't know how God put it there, but those things are there. Praise God. Insects will automatically migrate to light. Amen. Automatically they will migrate to light. Or how do you explain the effect of scratching sound on glass? How many of you react when glass is crushed? You react to it. If they put you in a room and they keep scratching it, you will run mad. What is that? That's all. It's not Igbo. Amen. The Israelis have developed a weapon. They deployed it against the Somalia pirates and it worked. They just found a frequency. And when they were coming, they just beamed that sound into them. And the guys just ran mad. Oh yeah, we're it. So they are going to use it for the Arabs. Praise God. Then what did God put and called man? Praise God. There's so much about man that we don't know. But Satan has an idea of what God put in there. And so, the same temptation, the same way that he brought down the first man, you see what he's still using till tomorrow. It's not a new technology. It's not a new idea. It's still the same. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If those things dictate your life, you are a man of flesh. Amen. To bring under condemnation. Go to, can we just go to jump to verse 4. I'll come back here next week if I come. Go to verse 4. KJV. That God said we should read in all the churches. Amen. No, it was not God, it was the king. Praise God. Okay, give it to 5. He said, for they that are after the flesh, what do they do? Mind. What's the meaning of mind? They are conscious. They pay attention. They respond to. That is what directs their lives. Do you understand? That is what governs their minds. It governs their lives. If you are a man or a woman, that these things I mentioned governs your life. It says, they that have the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that have the spirit, the things of the spirit. I'll come back there. Verse 6. Here is verdict. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is what? Is death. When these things are dictating your life, and these are the things that defines you, praise God, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, if these things are the one driving your life, it says you will die. You can be born again. Are you with me? And these things are still active in your life. God in his sovereign power has gotten you born again. Hallelujah. Like I said, listen to me. When you come before the judge, we know you as a thief. We know you as an armed robber. We know you as a Fulani herdsman. We know you as everything that is bad rolled into one. Praise God. And because you got a good lawyer in Christ, the judge says, not guilty. You are acquitted. That does not mean that you are not still an armed robber. You were only forgiven. You were only pardoned. So like that woman that was calling out, it was adultery or fornication, adultery. Go and see no more. So how do we get you not to see anymore? Is what Paul is addressing here. If you leave that courthouse and you still pay attention and your life is still being directed and still governed by the dictates of the flesh, he says you will die. Because by the time they bring you back to the courthouse, nobody will be pleading for your case again. They'll be pleading for sentence. Do you understand that easy? Praise God. But to be spiritually what? Minded. Is life. And peace. What does it mean to be spiritually minded? It means to set your mind on the things that the Spirit likes. Every spirit, please listen to me. Every spirit have their taboos. Every spirit. Ask any babalawo. The spirit he follows has a taboo or taboos. Things he cannot do. If he does it, that spirit will respond. Am I making sense to you? The Holy Ghost has his own do's and don'ts. Let no man deceive you. God is not mocked. If any more tell you that we are under grace, you don't know the operation of spirits. That's why they call him Holy Spirit. He's not just a spirit, he's an Holy Spirit. There are things he cannot stand. And if you don't understand that, you are playing with fire. Am I making sense to us up to this point? The Holy Ghost is the most terrible spirit to offend. It's so bad that Jesus Christ said, if you offend the Father and the Son, they can forgive you. But offend the Holy Ghost, there is no hope for you. There is no advocate that can plead your case. But to get to that point, one has to try. Praise God. But to try. But if they take your case to Satan, Satan says, we're going to eat you. You're bad.
Just follow me. Let us go to where we are going to together. Are you with me? It doesn't, it's not, that is not for a young believer. To offend the Holy Ghost is not for a young believer. It's for men that have lived the powers of the ages to come. Men that have seen and they've walked with God and they know God. They now turn around and say, nonsense, yo. This just to God could pay what, yo. Then they say, you have done despite to the Spirit of grace. You have sealed your doom. Nobody can plead for your case. Nobody. I pray we will all get there in Jesus' name. So, what are we talking about? This spirit has its taboos. It's holy. Let's be that holy, for I am holy. It can accommodate your foolishness for a while, but after a time, it will begin to react. And that's not good for you when it begins to react. When God begins to fight you, who will you call for help? Ask Israel. Go and read Psalm 78. The Bible says the Spirit turned and fought them. It was not Satan that fought against them. Holy Ghost, rather, became their enemy. If God be for us, who can be against us? But if God be against you, who can be for you? Praise God. See, understand me. So to be carnally minded is you going against the dictates of the Spirit. It's putting yourself in harm's way. It's you telling God that, blow me now, I can receive the blow. You are playing with what you shouldn't play with. And he went on to say, verse 7. You are enjoying my message that you have forgotten. Because, what is it? The way the carnal mind works is an enemy is raised against God. There's no way it can submit. There's no way it can follow God. It's not, like somebody said, it's impossible. An impossible situation that cannot happen. Praise God. You understand? Joshua came. He said, moon, sun, stand still. Moon, stand still. And it's too, that was an impossible situation, but it happened. Abi? But this one is impossible. Can't. It can't happen. The mind will never align with God. Because from the beginning, that kind of mindset has been what made God regret in the first instance that he made man. It has not changed. Every time you see God offended, go and find out. It was always because of carnality. Praise God. Let me round up. And I've never started. Go. Did you add the prophecy? They were prophesying. That's not part of my message now. That's not part of my message. Don't cheat me. Praise God. I received liberation. I have 10 more minutes. That is God's time. That prophecy interpretation was God's time. It was not part of my message. Amen. Were you not blessed? You are blessed now. Hallelujah. It is not subject. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. There is no way that mind will submit to God. Listen to me. What does it mean to submit to God? When you look at the instructions of God, the instructions of God are not suggestions. Are you with me? When God speaks, he doesn't give suggestions. God does not give advices. God gives commands. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? He does not advise you. Well, if you like, can do this. It's okay too. He gives a command. And if you have been to school before, secondary school I mean, real one, where you have real seniors, terrible seniors, that says you obey before. Have you been there before? Bad seniors, that when you are returning to school after a break and you are at law school, you will have malaria. You won't eat again. Because all those seniors, you will just come back to your vision. Praise God. Commands are to be obeyed. You don't give excuses. You don't give reasons.
But the Bible says, because of the configuration of that heart will never submit. It will never agree that what God has said is correct and should be obeyed. When the Bible says that Moses was the meekest of men on earth, it was not that Moses doesn't get angry. It was that in Moses, God found a man that will not resist his word. When God gives a command, Moses will not resist. Moses was amenable. Moses was, how do I put it? Moses just had come to a point where he has convinced himself that whatever God says must be good. And for that, it must be obeyed. Have you convinced yourself? Have you preached a message to yourself? Have you taught yourself? Because in chapter 6, Paul was writing, he said, reckon yourself to be what? To be dead. You must sit down and reckon yourself that whatever God has said is not good, is not good. No point negotiating it. No point finding out. Some of us are very curious. Some of us are very daring. God said, don't do this. He said, God is not, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Listen to me. God is a very interesting person. Some people may do it and get away. But so it seems. Every man will pay. Every man. There's nobody breaks God's word and goes coughing. Not even Lucifer. Nobody does it. He may keep quiet, does not mean you will not eat Wajia. Of Israel, Moses came and pleaded. They said, God, don't kill Israel. Leave Israel. Let Israel leave. God said, I will forgive them according to all, but I will visit them in the latter days. This iniquity, I will come back and visit it. Are you with me, church? The Bible says that mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You know, ask, how did we get this kind of mind? We said we were born with it, right? But we must understand the role of the adversary of our souls. Ephesians 2. Let me close there. I'll continue next week. Because I need to show you these things so that you can understand the antidote, the solution. The dictates of the Spirit, when you respond to God's dictates, you may understand what God is saying. Now the Bible says, you as he quickened, who were dead in what? Trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Wherein in time past, ye all, including me, walked according to what? To the course of this world. There is a course. The way the world was structured makes it easy to cultivate our souls to be always at loggerheads with God. That was the way we were raised. That was the kind of training the system is teaching us. Praise the Lord. I hope you are with me. This system is what Paul called it, the course of this world. And there was a person who constructed it. The way this world is arranged was arranged by a prince. An archangel. Praise God. Praise God. This prince is called the power of the air. And that prince walketh in who? You now begin to see that there are two kinds of people on earth. Children of obedience and children of disobedience. The reason why, if you read the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, and those who believed were obedient to the doctrines of the apostles. Read the whole New Testament. What God did in you is to enable you to be obedient. Because there is a structure that our hearts have been configured to follow. And that configuration makes us children of disobedience. It is upon such children that the wrath of God is resting over. There's a cloud over the whole earth. It's called the wrath of God. It's hanging. When the fullness of time comes, that wrath will be released like rain. But the children of obedience are exempted. Because Peter said that he's able, he knows how to keep his own. Praise the Lord. Am I making sense here? Somebody has structured your mind. Somebody has arranged your mind. Why is it that what the schools that we all attend, the only thing they teach us is how to study creation. Nobody teaches us the Creator. The only way you can find the Creator being taught is in the church. So that you can know the things that are freely given to you. It's not only things that are given to you, but things that are also required from you. Praise the Lord. So there's a prince controlling us. So you can be a Christian and a preacher like me, or even more than me, and you are still under the prince of the air. Are you with me? How do I know you are under the prince? I just need to look at your fruit. When I see your fruit, remember I just said, by their fruit, you will know them. What fruit are we talking about? Just see the way they behave. When you see a man of God say, because you offend him, he will curse you. He's a man of God though. And he's threatening to curse you. What fruit is that? What fruit of the Spirit is that? Do you understand me now? He's bearing a fruit according to the configuration of his mind. Somebody has configured his heart in such a way that it's producing a fruit that leads to death. And that tells me that it's carnally minded. How do you know carnality? Paul spoke about in Galatians 5. He said, these are the works of the flesh. You know, witchcraft is work of the flesh. When witches are flying, you say that is spiritual operation, but it's still the work of the flesh. It's coming from here. That's what produces it. Amen. And there's a prince in the air that is controlling that activity. So you can be in church and you are a manipulator. You're an adulterer. You are, what are they? We're a warmonger. You are all those things. And yes, you can speak in tongues. Brother, you will die if you don't go to God and ask for a purging. That's why Paul said, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may do what? Obtain mercy. If you continue like this on your own strength, thinking that you are okay because you always come to church, because you are always active, you will just perish free of charge. Because in you dwelleth nothing good, except they give you a new heart. We can't repackage your heart. We have to give you a new heart. Praise the Lord. We have to change the way you think, and that can only come by the orchestration of the Holy Spirit. I will continue, God helping me, next week. But I want us to pray this morning and talk to God. David said, examine my heart if there is wickedness there. You may have something that the prince of darkness has put there. He has planted it there. The day that is appropriate, he will activate it. He's a powerful prince. The person we are dealing with understands us more than we understand ourselves. He had a clue to what God put in man. And so he came with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three things have never failed him. They have always worked every time they are activated. The only way to overcome this is for you to be disconnected. We have to disconnect you.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-6029 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.